Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
All bipolar disorders are not created equal. There are four or five different types of bipolar disorder, and we're going to kind of dig through those a little bit today.
Depending on where you Google. You know, because if you Google this, you Google bipolar, we always make this distinction. We've done it with other podcasts. There are the DSM-5 categories.
Right.
We have to live by those. I mean, in our business, you have to adhere to the DSM-5. But as you go into different websites, there may be those five and more, or more than five, fewer than five, and it depends what other writers want to include in this. But the DSM-5, the manual that we have to use, contains five, right?
Six.
If you separate specified and unspecified. But so we'll adhere to those, but acknowledging that there are some other types that other researchers will discuss.
Now, today we're gonna primarily focus on three of them, because the others are, again, sort of the catch-all that, you know, if you have some of these symptoms but it doesn't fit with the other three, you know, it could be, you know, substance-induced, medication or substance-induced bipolar disorder. It could be bipolar disorder due to a general medical condition. Or
yeah,
it could
that's
be
another one.
Specified or unspecified. There are those, you know, three or four categories, you know, just in case you have those symptoms, but they're caused by a substance or a general medical condition or for some other reason that we're not quite sure of. But we're going to focus primarily on what are referred to as type 1, type 2, and cyclothymic. Cyclothymic has sort of been informally referred to as type 3, but it's, you know, it's really, in the DSM, it's called cyclothymic. So bipolar type 1 is what we really think of when we think of bipolar disorder.
That's the classic presentation, right?
And with bipolar disorder type 1, the main thing that we think about, or the main characteristic that has to be present is a manic episode.
That's right. And don't ever forget that.
Right.
Because that's... You have to have this manic episode, and it has to last for a certain amount of time. And so that is the hallmark of bipolar 1.
So a manic episode, and we're going to talk about, we're going to go through the assessment process later this week, but a manic episode, as you said, has to last at least a week, but it consists of severe, impairing, life-affecting symptoms that include like elevated or increased mood, irritability, impulsivity, risky or dangerous behaviors, rapid thoughts. And so there are behaviors associated with mania that cause an impairment in functioning. And it has to last at least a week unless the person is hospitalized or something like that.
And that's the other important thing is that it has to last for a week. And people, you know, you look at a person who's, you know, you have a bad day or 2 days, it's not sufficient to make the diagnosis.
What people really have a hard time understanding with bipolar disorder is that once you have the diagnosis, once you have had a manic episode, bipolar disorder is then your diagnosis. It doesn't matter if you've had 50 depressive episodes before your first manic episode. As soon as you have that first manic episode, you are now, your diagnosis would then shift and adjust to bipolar disorder. It doesn't matter if you only ever have one manic episode and never have another manic episode, your diagnosis remains bipolar disorder type 1. And in fact, we have a specifier, bipolar disorder type 1 single manic episode. Because you've only had one manic episode. So once that manic episode happens, the person can no longer be diagnosed with major depressive disorder and now must be diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I see it so many times where people are people, you know, even, you know, from the provider will be diagnosed with both bipolar disorder and major depressive disorder. And
can't do that.
You can't do that. Once you're diagnosed, once you have a manic episode, the diagnosis is then bipolar disorder.
Right.
The other interesting thing is that once you if you've had a manic episode, your diagnosis is bipolar disorder type 1, you may never have a depressive episode, but you're still diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Right.
So the presence of the manic episode is what really makes that diagnosis.
It defines the disorder.
Right.
Right.
So the depressive episodes don't really matter as it relates to the diagnosis.
Yeah. Right. In a way, it makes it easier. Because once you see that manic episode, especially if it's a lengthy 6-7 day episode, you can make the diagnosis with confidence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that manic episode, that is the hallmark of this bipolar disorder type 1.
Bipolar 1, right.
Now, there is a such thing as bipolar disorder type 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's fascinating about bipolar disorder type 2 is that it too has symptoms that we refer that are consistent with mania. However, first, the difference, there are two major differences. The first is the duration. For a hypomanic episode, that's what we refer to it in bipolar disorder type 2, hypomanic, meaning it's less than manic, hypo is absence of,
less than.
The hallmark characteristics of hypomania is that it only has to last four days.
Right.
Remember, manic episode has to last a full week. It only has to last for 4 days. But the really fascinating thing is that this is one of the few conditions found in the DSM that doesn't require an impairment in functioning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a person with hypomania, and this is fascinating to me, a person with hypomania continues to function, they meet their obligations, and in fact, a lot of times, people with hypomania enjoy being hypomanic.
That's right.
They enjoy that time.
They don't want to get rid of it.
Because, man, they get a lot of work done. They're not sleeping as much, but it's not as severe as with mania.
Right.
So they're sleeping, you know, 4 or 5 hours a night, perhaps. But
I'm not going to say anything.
So they're sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night, but they're highly energetic. They're getting work done. They're focused. They're efficient in their work. And
it's a chronic problem amongst doctoral students.
Right.
You know, we see it all the time.
Right.
Where's that line between being highly motivated and being hypomanic? And frequently you can't tell the difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you have this. Now, the concern that happens is that a person can have hypomania, and if they continue for too long, that hypomania can then turn into mania.
It becomes mania.
Because if you are sleeping less and less, if
you're pushing yourself
more and more, you're going to trigger that manic episode.
Right, we talked about that yesterday. In yesterday's podcast, is that you have to be careful that you don't trigger. If you have a family history, be very careful, because you can easily trigger these things, especially if you're in a profession, if you're in a doctoral program, for example, or you're raising a family and working, or, you know, wearing yourself out, or you're in a high stress situation. You have to be really careful, because you can trigger. You can go from normal functioning to hypomania, or normal functioning to mania, hypomania to mania. So be very careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for this reason, though, it is a little bit difficult to diagnose people with bipolar disorder type 2, because the primary reason that they're going to present is because of depression.
Right.
And so for that reason, they're going to primarily be diagnosed with major depressive disorder.
Right.
Because
in bipolar 2, it's depression.
Right.
Okay. Bipolar 1, it's mania.
Right.
Is the primary.
Primary reason to seek treatment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bipolar 2, it's less mania, more depression.
Right. Mm-hmm. But again, if you've ever had that hypomanic episode, you are then diagnosed with bipolar disorder type 2.
Right.
You're not
depression.
It's not major depression anymore. It's bipolar disorder type 2.
Right.
So again, that the presence of that manic for bipolar type 1 or hypomanic for bipolar type 2, those are the key features that differentiate those mood disorders mm-hmm. from anything else.
Right. So shorthand, bipolar 1, mania, bipolar 2, depression.
Right.
Right.
Okay. But the presence of that hypomanic.
Right, yeah. With hypomania.
Now, the third and final one that we're going to talk about, it is much less common.
Right.
Because I don't know that I've ever made this diagnosis.
It is a different, because it begins with, it's a mild form of, well, right. What's a mild form? I've never made the diagnosis.
Right.
I mean.
Right. It's a little bit uncharacteristic of some of the other disorders that we talked about.
As we've said, I don't think I've ever made the diagnosis, uh-huh. but is it more likely to occur in youngsters?
Well, it's...
You know, because they don't show those clear patterns.
Right, right. Well, so cyclothymic disorder, as you said, is a mild form of bipolar disorder.
Right.
And to me, it reminds me a little bit of dysthymia, the persistent mood depressive disorder that we talked about last week, because mm-hmm. it does require mood-related symptoms over a long period of time with very few or short duration normal, quote-unquote, normal mood periods in mm-hmm. between episodes. So you'll have, again, it goes to hypomania because, mm-hmm. you know, I can't emphasize it enough. If you've ever had a manic episode, that's bipolar type 1, no matter what.
Right.
If you ever had a manic episode, that's bipolar disorder type 1,
mm-hmm. period. And if you've had depression with hypomania,
right.
you're at 2.
You're at 2. But if you've had these sort of pervasive, long-running mm-hmm. periods of depression followed by hypomania that last mm-hmm. months, years... Mm-hmm. That's what we're getting into, cyclothymic disorder.
You don't have those clear demarcations right. as you do with bipolar 1 and bipolar 2.
Right.
You know, this is sort of mild and brief hypomania combined with mild and brief depression.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But again, that's a critically important clinical judgment right. that somebody's making.
Right. Because as we talked about with dysthymia or persistent mm-hmm. depressive right. disorder last week, the symptoms have to be present for 2 years
right.
For that.
Yeah.
That's the case with cyclothymic disorder. You have to have those, you know, emotional highs and lows mm-hmm. that doesn't get so severe that it's,
right.
you know, putting mm-hmm. you in the hospital or turns into a manic episode or anything like that. But those persistent highs and lows over the course of 2 years with no period of quote-unquote normal
right. No
mood
break in between.
Of lasting 8 months mm-hmm. or so.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And many of these do go undiagnosed because
right.
they're just people just don't seek treatment for these sort of low grade.
Well, they don't seek treatment,
things.
And you know when it comes to, I mean, try to think about your behaviors over the last
right.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what were you doing in June of 2016? I have no idea.
I no.
You're having surgery.
I'd have yes, but yes.
Yeah, but you know, trying to remember
but
that.
But you'd have to have some significant event.
Right.
You know, this or that, or got married or engaged or discharged or something.
Yeah.
No, you just don't, yeah. just don't recall it.
So this is a very difficult diagnosis to make, but it is an important one because,
right.
again, when we're talking about treatment, mm-hmm. you know, it's really...
Yeah.
really important that we look at the pervasiveness of these symptoms over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cyclothymic disorder.
Right.
Bipolar disorder type 1 and bipolar disorder type 2 are much more commonly diagnosed
right.
as it
right.
relates, you know, at least with these
mm-hmm.
three or this class of
right.
disorders. So, all
yeah.
right, anything else?
Nope, but remember, you have those other three at the bottom of this list, substance induced
right.
due to another medical condition, and then you have other specified or unspecified,
right.
which are a part of all diagnoses.
Right.
But these are the main three. And
right.
Not easy to diagnose unless you have this very pronounced manic episode.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that is it then for today.
Good. All right.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.